RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grumman bringing you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
And our first question on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips is, who was the MVP of last night's wild game between the 49ers and the Bears?
I'm sorry. I wish it could be a bear. It's not. It was Brock Purdy out-bearsing the Bears quarterback. And I say that as a compliment because the Bears quarterback did pretty well in this game. So well, in fact, that he threw for more yards than Brock Purdy. But unfortunately, Brock Purdy was accounted for more touchdowns, especially since he ran for one. He threw 3 touchdowns. He also threw a touchdown to the other team. And Chris Collinsworth made the joke that he had accounted for all of the points at that point in the game. But the 118.6 quarterback rating kind of gives you a good indication that Brock Purdy was on one yesterday. And he ended up edging out Caleb Williams, but only by a teensy bit.
Teensy bit, big bit. First play of the game was his worst play of the game. Brock Purdy throws a pick six. Shout out to Jalen Johnson for getting in the middle of it. Shout out for TJ Edwards for being Johnny on the proverbial spot and running back. Yeah, tip drill. Tips and overthrows, got to have those. That falls into the tips category. Here's what's crazy. The 49ers had the ball 10 times on 10 possessions. 7 of those possessions ended in a touchdown. 1 for the Bears, which I just mentioned, and then 6 for the 49ers. Another ended in end of half, because it was the end of the first half, and the other 2 ended in punts. That is so highly efficient. And for that reason, Brock Purdy is the dude. Because of the 6 touchdowns that ended with 49ers offensive touchdowns, he was responsible for 5 of them. He had 3 through the air, 2 on the ground. The man was magical, to say the least. And I think Brock Purdy has to get his due. Yes, he had the pick 6, but he also had a quarterback rating of 118.6. He also completed over 70% of his passes. He had Christian McCaffrey behind him, but he knew how to use Christian McCaffrey as he hit 9 different receivers for a completed pass. Sorry, make that 8 different receivers for a complete pass. Variety is the spice of life, and this man got spicy on the Bears last night.
I thought Caleb Williams was the MVP of this game. 25 of 42, 330 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks. Those 2 touchdowns, both of the explosive, thrilling variety, 35 yards to Luther Burden. The 36-yard pass on the free play to Caleb Williams, and it doesn't get old for me to see arm strength doing what it did last night for Caleb Williams. Arm strength under control, I think, is what I was going for. The Bears also. Look, San Francisco was great on third down, too. They were 7 of 10 on third down. The Bears were 6 for 12 on third down. Many huge clutch third down throws by Caleb Williams last night. The 3rd and 8 to Luther Burden on that 10-play, 80-yard drive for the Bears. You had the 3rd and 14 to Jahdae Walker for 19 yards. Then the 24-yard pass to Luther Burden, ending in the swift 2-yard touchdown as well. 4th down conversion this game. 1 to Colston Loveland. You had another one in the game as well. So he was making all of the passes in the game. And it was, that's the Caleb
that we're all waiting and wanting to see.
All the passes?
And there it was. I didn't make all the passes.
You said all the passes. I'm just making sure.
Well, nor did your guy. Your guy certainly did not make all the passes.
He made enough passes. You would have voted for...
I don't see how we can deny Caleb Williams at this point after last night's game. I get it. Like, Purdy might be a better quarterback, but to like be so decisive that Purdy had a better night than Caleb Williams when Purdy, as you mentioned, was pick six.
It's a yes or no question I'm about to ask you.
Oh, great. You're going to put me in that corner?
Would you have voted for LeBron James?
Nobody puts me in the yes or no corner at Sports Talk Radio.
Would you have voted for LeBron James as MVP of the 2015 NBA Finals, in which his team lost 4-2 to the Golden State Warriors, but he led the entire series in points, rebounds, and assists, first player in NBA history to have ever done that. Would you have voted for LeBron James as the MVP? His team lost the series, but mm-hmm. would you have voted for him as the MVP?
I don't know.
Okay.
Good. I don't know. I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch those games and see.
MVP goes to the winner, not the loser.
Right. Well,
sometimes it should go to the loser.
It did.
Would you have voted for LeBron James as the 2015 Finals MVP?
What, do you want me to pick Kyle Juszczyk? I could pick Kyle Juszczyk if you want me to.
Pick Brock Purdy.
What about that time he went to Cal?
If you'd like.
Very Pac-12 after dark last night. Really
Christian McCaffrey is another acceptable answer. Let's not pick losers.
First half, Christian McCaffrey.
Just saw him.
Second half, Christian McCaffrey wasn't as potent.
They didn't give him the ball. Give him the ball. I thought that would, if the Bears had won, I'd be like, why'd they stop giving Christian McCaffrey the ball? That was my honest. Mm.
Number two.
Purdy is a punk. Quit kissing his ass, says a tester.
He's getting how much money per year?
Purdy year.
He made it last night.
Oh, my God.
Sure,
he took a team
Purdy.
To a Super Bowl.
So anyway, next up for the Bears is the Detroit Lions on Sunday. A win guarantees the Bears the 2 seed. They can do no worse than the 3 seed. They will be at home no matter what in the wild card round. So the question is, should the Bears rest their starters or play their starters versus the Lions?
F no. Play everybody. Anybody who ever had a reason to be mad at the Lions, and that means the entire team after that stupid loss in week 2, no. I want everybody to be as petty as hell. Also, there's a reason to play everyone. It's because you want to ensure that you're not playing somebody from the NFC West again anytime soon if you can avoid it. At least buy yourself some time. No. That whole Ben Johnson wants to embarrass opponents things and he tries to score touchdowns on hook and ladders. Don't deny it, Ben. Don't deny it. No. This is the time. This is the time to avenge everything that happened in that game against the Lions. It stunk. It gave them that point differential. You actually have the chance to do something productive here, playoff-wise. No. No rest for anybody.
As much as I want to lean into the Marvel Cinematic Universe and say, do it for the petty, be an Avenger, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just lay out some really quick facts for you here. You play your starters because you need to win the game to hold on to the number 2 seed. The Philadelphia Eagles, with whom you hold a tiebreaker over, they play the Washington Commanders, who have essentially nothing to play for. The Eagles, I expect to win that game. If you fall to the 3 seed,
go Birds.
All you're going to do is get 1 game at home.
Water.
That means you need to win multiple road games to get to the Super Bowl. If you hold on to this 2 seed, you are guaranteed to only have to win 1 game on the road to get to the Super Bowl. If what everyone was telling me is like expectations have changed. We're trying to make a Super Bowl run here. You don't know when you'll have this particular opportunity because of the nature of the violence of this game and the collision aspect of this game. You don't know who you're going to have healthy this time a year from now. See Washington Commanders, by the way. I think you have to say, do everything in your power to control your future, which is to say you are the 2 seed. You have guaranteed at least 2 games at home in the playoffs. Play your freaking starters.
You guys know where I stand. I want to see the Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field. And in order to have that happen, the Bears would need to beat Detroit. And I think that would mean that the Bears would need to play their starters. The Bears, as good as they are, they're still not good enough to be playing that game of, we've reached the point in time where we're going to start sitting players.
It's not Tyson Bagent time, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not Tyson Bagent time. Although, if the game is well in hand in the fourth quarter, you don't have to do any funny stuff. stuff. Like, oh, Caleb got us here. He's going to finish the game. And Caleb wanted to finish the game. No, no. You can put Bajan into the game if it's a 2-touchdown lead, which I project it to be.
Oh, you mean like,
Oh, wait a minute.
Prediction on a Monday.
Oh, wait.
Did that just happen? Wait a minute.
And you threw shade at Eberflus.
The Flus.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that sideswipe.
Man, maybe it's time to stop throwing shade at the Flus. He's having a tough time in Dallas, man.
For how much longer?
What? No.
You love the shade?
We had to sit through that. He deserves to be held accountable.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't hire himself, though. He would have even thought he wasn't qualified.
No, the Bears deserve hell for that, too. Absolutely. We all had to sit through that year, and so did Caleb Williams.
So, did the Bears 42-38 loss to the 49ers change anything about the way you feel about their chances of making a playoff run?
In that, I think it just further proved to me how good the NFC West is. Like, I love the fact that the Bears were able to go into Levi's Stadium and make this such a competitive game and take it down to the final drive and the final play. And you know what usually helps, at least numerically, how it reflects in the NFL? Is by the home field. So you just want to make sure that you ensure yourselves that much better of a chance and those tiny, tiny details that will matter. Home field advantage in playoff games matters. The tiny details of knowing that you don't have to travel as much. Ben Johnson said after the game they went 4.5 hours to San Francisco. All of those things end up do mattering and affecting a win and a loss record. So for me, watch out for the NFC West. If you needed proof, you got it last night. And if you need proof as to why a home game matters in the playoffs, you got that too.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty simple. This just confirmed my belief that whatever the Bears do as far as making a playoff run will depend on Caleb Williams' arm over everything else, because I don't expect anything from the defense. I expect a lot of nothing from the defense, because again, while they have been great at taking the football away, and we saw an example of that certainly in the opening moments of last night's game, bottom line is you ain't playing no more slackers at quarterback. For all the backups and second runs you saw over the course of a season that allowed you to amass 11 wins, when you look around and see Jordan Love or even Malik Willis, when you see Matthew Stafford, when you see Sam Darnold, when you see, of course, Brock Purdy, when you see Super Bowl champion Jalen Hurts, you start asking yourself questions. Well, who is it that we think we can really realistically take out here? Maybe the NFC South team, but you ain't going to see them. You're not going to see them. You don't get to see them. So the defense, you want the turnovers. I don't see them happening in the playoffs at the rate at which they've been happening in the regular season.
Did this game change the way I think about the Bears making a playoff run? I think what comes to mind for me is be careful what you wish for, as in the Bears offense is going to have to carry the Bears defense, which is something that I think, let me think about that. I don't think I've ever said that going into a postseason for the Chicago Bears. And quite honestly, you know, I've lamented what the Bears have done in the past because it stopped getting them anywhere. The old defense and running, while you got to have all that stuff, that being featured and leaving out the passing part of your football team has hurt the Bears historically. But here they are now, and the defense should be much better. But the scenario is real. The Bears are capable of outscoring teams. They are capable of keeping up with teams like they did in the case of San Francisco yesterday. But that is a... that's going to be a pretty, well, fantastic way to live, or spectacular way to live, because the game was spectacular last night.
Dramatic.
It's pretty stressful when you go out there and you know that if it's a potent offense against your defense, just cross your fingers. Good luck. Hope for a turnover. Hope for a pick six, because that has to be the hope. But the Bears can. They can outscore teams, and they can win with offense. My God.
Five on it.
Number four.
Fill in the blank. Brock Purdy is a top blank quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, you're looking at me because I
this is a hard one.
No. It's
Oh, no. I have an idea, but...
It's a legitimate question.
I wouldn't have wanted to go first.
And so... I was thinking about this question because I'm watching, obviously, Brock Purdy do the things he did, as we saw on Monday Night Football and even the week before that against, you know, the Tennessee Titans, who are not a very good football team. I'll give you that. But I started thinking, well, who is he better than and who is he not as good at? And is he a system quarterback? I had questions for myself on this. And so I started thinking about who's better than him definitively. And the answers were Matthew Stafford, Patrick Mahomes. It was Dak Prescott. And then after that,
Josh Allen.
There was kind of a pause.
Jared Goff.
Well, it was kind of a pause. Let me get back to it. He's accomplished more than the guys you guys just mentioned, right? Because he's been to a Super Bowl.
Mm. Oh.
So, with Kyle Shanahan as his play caller, he's certainly proven that he can play for stretches elite-level quarterback play. He can be elite for a stretch. I don't know how long the stretch is, but Josh Allen, Jared Goff, you talk about those guys. At the end of the day, they haven't been elite for long enough for me to be like, yes, you are very good over the course of regular seasons, but in the playoffs, you haven't gotten it done. So I'm going to say he's a top five quarterback. Mm. I know I'm crazy, but that's what I'm saying.
I think he's getting paid like he's a top five quarterback, right? Because here's the issue is if you've taken your team to a Super Bowl, you're pretty much guaranteed at that point somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million a year. Like that's how that goes. And since the quarterback position is the most important in the league, and since we talked about how many points he was accounting for as part of the game last night, to the victor goes the spoils in that respect. When it comes to talent, I don't think he's top five. I think when it comes to talent, there are quarterbacks who have not gotten to Super Bowls who deserve that discussion. Dak Prescott, you could argue, could be the MVP this year, but he unfortunately played well in spite of his team, not because of it necessarily. Jared Goff is still sitting on 4,200 yards passing right now, as is Drake May. Matthew Stafford is having the best season of his career, perhaps, at 37 years old. Sam Darnold's career has been resurrected, and he's got 3,850 yards. Let's not forget that Bo Nix and Trevor Lawrence are both enjoying coaching changes that have worked out to their favor. And then there's, oh, by the way, Caleb Williams, 3,700 yards. He's at 3,730 right now, so 4,000 is still in sight. So, yes, you get paid for leading a team in a team sport. Brock Purdy deserved more than $50 million a year because when you look at the other people who are getting paid that, he deserves it. But, you know, even in an off season for him, I don't think he's as good as a guy like, say, Lamar Jackson. So I would put him in the top 10, but I'm not necessarily putting him in the top 5.
Because it turns out this is a great question, Marshall. It really is interesting. I can't quite put him in the top 5 for similar reasons as to what Layla was saying. And I also think that if you're in the top 5, and I know this is a word that, you know, maybe we shouldn't use as much. Elite. Like, I don't look at him as having the elite talents of Patrick Mahomes, of Josh Allen, of Matthew Stafford, of Lamar Jackson. Like, I can't quite, and I'm saying this knowing what he did last night, and some of the stuff he did last night was elite, but just outside of that top five box, top 10 for sure, I don't have room for Brock Purdy in my top 5 yet.
Okay.
Good question.
Five on it.
Number 5.
So tonight, the Bulls take on the Timberwolves at the United Center. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45. Tip-off at 7 on the score. And the Fitzgerald Equipment Bulls Radio Network, powered by Helly Forklift. So speaking of the Bulls, they had their 5-game winning streak snapped by Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks on Saturday. With the game no longer in doubt, Giannis ended it with an uncontested windmill dunk at the buzzer. And maybe broke some unwritten rules there. Was he out of line?
Absolutely not out of line, because if you want him not to do that, stop him. It's just like baseball. You don't want the hitter to celebrate with a big old bat flip. Don't let him hit the home run. I'm here for all the drama and the storylines that come with it.
I thought that the rule was after the whistle, whoever is shooting can still shoot. You know, I thought that was the rule. Like, how many times have you seen guys after the whistle blows, they still take the shot anyway? I don't mind that at all. What I did see start to happen a few years ago was people would block it, and then people would boo. And it was funny, because you're allowed to have fun in the NBA. So I felt like this fell into the funny/fun category. Anytime you can heat check yourself with a play that doesn't actually count, like a windmill dunk, why not give...
Oh, no, it counted. It was before the horn. That was the issue.
Still, like, why not give people what they want?
I don't know about these Milwaukee Bucks. They've been just a little bit dirty in the past. I do like that it kind of injects some excitement into the rivalry, which has already had like several fun moments through the years, but it's been a while. I'm glad that Vooch is defending everybody's honor as well, but get out of here, Giannis. Go travel.
I will
Go
say travel. This. Giannis, after the game, said he did it because his team basically needs an injection of something because they're currently 11th, which means if the playoffs started today, I'm sorry, the postseason started today, they wouldn't even be in the play-in tournament. They wouldn't even make the postseason. So I get it. So for Giannis, congratulations to him. Also, Bulls, wake up. Do your thing.
Well,
put on a little makeup.
Wake up!
That was awesome.
I found a System of a Down vinyl at a recycled bookstore.
It's so
over the
sick.
Christmas holiday, and I had to send the picture to Mark Grote. One Mark Grote.
By the way, it's System of a Down, big part of the music at Soldier Field for home games. Not a big part, but there's a couple times throughout the games where they blast System of a Down. Shout out.
There's enough.
Also, the Bear Raid siren was playing in San Francisco at Santa Clara last night, and I had a good laugh about it. Coming up next, well, we had the ceremony, but
yes.
One half of the Take the North podcast was not available. He'll join us next. Dan Wiederer to go over the Bears game against the 49ers and the taking of the North. Next on Raheem Harrison.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Brody. We talk to Dan Wiederer every Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, and we do so once again. Dan Wiederer, the writer for The Athletic. He is the co-host of the Take the North podcast, which has been taken by the Bears, joins us via the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Dan, how does it feel to be a part of a podcast called Take the North now that the Bears have actually taken the North?
Well, like it's been all season, Layla, it's just been really fun to watch this team achieve what it's achieved and to go after these goals with urgency and purpose. And to get there, I think it's been kind of weird that the Bears had that obviously that exhilarating win against Green Bay on the Saturday night, and then they didn't clinch their playoff berth till the next day. And then it was the day before they played that they actually clinched the division. So I don't think they've had like this moment that has been sort of lent itself to celebrating the achievement. So I think it's been kind of strange for them. But knowing now that they're going to be hosting a home playoff game next week at Soldier Field is pretty exciting stuff. And I think everybody's looking forward to seeing where this journey will go.
Speaking of where this journey will go, before we get into the nitty gritty of last night's game, just a simple question. The Bears are going to play their freaking starters on Sunday, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, nothing in Ben's wiring to this point would indicate to me that they would, ease into this thing. Now, obviously, if you guys guys with health issues and injuries that you want to keep an eye on, you're going to be probably a little bit more cautious in certain case by case situations. But I don't think that they're going to lay down and just kind of start packing it in and getting ready for the wild card round.
Tan, have you and I done a podcast together since the Bears clinched anything? I don't remember. I feel like we've been so separated lately.
No, we haven't. We have not. Yeah, you're right. Exactly. And so, you know, clear out your schedule for tomorrow afternoon, Grody, and we'll get back together and reunite.
I am ready, man. I am ready. Studs did a great job filling in. I know that filled in for me and for you. And we know Kevin Fishbane filled in. But, yeah, I can't wait to reunite so you and I could have our special moment of the Bears taking the North, which really is something. What did last night's game mean? And when I ask that, I mean from several different angles, from an offensive standpoint for the Bears and a defensive standpoint. What did you take out of what happened last night?
Well, I'll start big picture in the fact that we have now seen over the last month plus that you put the Bears in games against some of the best teams in the league and they're able to hang, if not beat them, right? And so it gives you this optimism for January that everything's within reach and that if you play up to your capability, you're going to be in every football game you play. And you've got a chance to extend the season as long as you play the type of football it takes to extend it. Obviously, the offensive explosion and the ability to hang in a chase game was pretty impressive. You know, this is a game that was tied at 7, at 14, at 21, at 28, at 35. And so it's just every time the Bears needed to answer, they found an answer, and then they took the lead late in the game, and you felt really good about the offensive production through that. Obviously, the defense starts the game with an explosive takeaway, and you know, you get the lead on T.J. Edwards' pick six, but after that, you really didn't do anything to impact the game from a splash play perspective. Just one sack in the game, and Brock Purdy, after that early interception, just settled in and had the game of his life, really. I mean, 5 touchdowns in all, really taking target practice in a lot of parts of that football game, and it just gives you pause because this isn't a one-off for this defense. They've given up a lot of explosive plays all season, and you're going to have to find some answers there going into the playoffs because there are going to be games where you don't get any takeaways or you don't get any points on defense, and you're just going to have to rely on slowing the other team's offense more than you did last night.
Well, I think, Dan, what we also saw in our segment with Dan Weider is sponsored by Great Clips. It's going to be great. What we saw, Dan, I think, was a real duel between two of the best offensive play callers in the NFL, in Shanahan and in Ben Johnson. What did you think of just the chess match that seemingly was going on drive after drive after drive in this game?
Well, these guys are elite at what they do, and it is really fun to watch it on the same field, just watching them throw haymakers at each other. You know, here, stop this, here, stop that. It was really notable to me to feel the level of disappointment from Bears players on the offensive side of the football on Sunday night, because this is after a game where you put up 440 yards and scored 38 points and you're leaving the stadium agitated. That's foreign territory to any of us that have followed this team for a long time. Like, 38 points used to be this fantasy land that you couldn't even dream of. You just watched other teams do it and you go, oh, what's that like? And now you
leave
the building completely aggravated because you fell 2 yards short of another magical comeback, you know, and it's just, it's so interesting to see how far they have come. And I'll have things in the coming weeks to give you a little bit more statistical analysis on how far they've actually come with this team this year. But the offensive breakthrough is unbelievable.
This segment with Dan Weider is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Dan, Bears defense, can it be fixed? And if so, how?
Well, you got to figure out a way to generate pressure, and I think some of that's going to have to wait for free agency in the draft of 2026 to try to get reinforcement, because it's just been a consistent issue all season long about them just not able to generate consistent disruption on opposing quarterbacks. And when you're not able to do that, you're in trouble. A couple more instances last night where you send some extra pressure in and the quarterback gets rid of the football, and the next thing you know, you're on the wrong end of a big explosive play. That's got to get cleaned up a little bit, and I don't know that it's all fixable in the next 3 or 4 weeks here, Marshall. And they're going to have to try to, you know, manufacture some things to be able to create more pressure, because we know the level of quarterback play you're going to face in the postseason is going to be consistently strong. And so you got to find a way to get those guys a little bit more uncomfortable than the Bears have been able to.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis Allen is going to be incumbent upon. He has a hard job. He really does. I mean, he's going to have to be more creative, do different things to disguise certain things, for sure. So I really think it comes down to the defensive coordinator at this point. Just not enough time. I agree with you, Dan, to get that defense right. I do want to go back to the offense, because we haven't really asked you about Caleb Williams. What did you think about his night last night?
Man, it's impressive. First 300-yard outing of the season. And again, it's the number of different ways that he made plays. Obviously, the free play touchdown to Loveland, you know, you're using cadence, right, to buy yourself a shot. And then you hit the shot and you make another team pay. Again, this is stuff that we used to watch other people do to the Bears and go, wow, that must be nice. That's a huge touchdown pass. The touchdown pass to Burton. Yeah, you know, just what a dime. And that's another one of those ones from the press box view where you see it unfolding and you're like, man, this is otherworldly arm talent to be able to make that kind of throw from the body position he was in, really, when he released it and put it right on the dot, and to let the entire stadium know that you're here for the night, right? Like, there was so a little bit of a slow start for the Bears there on those first couple drives, and then you hit that play and you're just like, okay, it's on, right? And Caleb has been really good at getting himself into games, and it felt like last night was one of those ones that he loves, right? Like, where you have this pinball game going back and forth and you want to be a part of the fireworks show and just constantly do your part to get there, again, all the way up until the final few plays there down inside the red zone where the Bears fell just a little bit short. And I'm still trying to get a feel, and maybe we'll get some more answers from Ben Johnson this afternoon on what that final play was designed to do. Had they been able to get it called on time? Had they been able to get it blocked up properly? And what would have been there if they had the ideal situation to actually run the play that they wanted to run?
Well, what was it? And that's a great point, because I was going to ask you about that. But yeah, he'll provide Ben Johnson a little bit later on today. We'll provide some texture on that like he always seems to do. But in real time, what did you think about the hook and ladder play?
So, given what I know about Ben's affinity for laterals, how he successfully used them in Detroit last season and had kind of been waiting 17 weeks to see one of these mm-hmm. come out, and I really felt like it was a good go-for-it-all play call that just didn't marry up with what the 49ers did defensively. If you look at Lenore, the defensive back who the Bears were hoping would sort of attach to Colston Loveland on the hook route in man coverage, he kind of drops in zone there. And so that takes away the ability for DeAndre Swift to capture the edge and go around the corner there. Had Lenore stayed with Colston Loveland, it's a walk-in touchdown with Cole Kmet out in front to clear out the safety. And all of a sudden, we're talking about this magical play that won the Bears a game and to, you know, at the end of this magical season. And it's a different storyline. So I was all for it. It just didn't work out. It forced the Bears, obviously, to rush and kill the clock. And then they only had one shot there at the end. And in getting that play in late and not being able to manage it properly pre-snap, you were left with just a wild scramble drill, and Caleb couldn't get enough on that final throw.
No, I would agree with that, Dan. And just to add to what you guys were talking about earlier when it came to the balls that we've seen Caleb Williams throw, I think that yesterday was one of his best games as far as throwing off speed, throwing with some touch. I feel like we saw that several times where if he had to drop down to a sidearm angle, it wasn't a fastball necessarily.
How about the underhand throw?
Yes, that too. And that's the point, is that I do think we're seeing a little bit more of a varied speed now for him when it comes to who is where in the formation.
Just starting to seem more comfortable in a lot of ways. You know, I've been really impressed at how rapidly the chemistry with Loveland has come along here in the second half of the season. And when you start to get these results from those two guys who are in their fourth month working together, you start to imagine what can this look like in year three together. And it's not just Caleb and Colston, it's Caleb and Colston working under Ben, right? And so your imagination can go wild for what that combination can be like in the future, because it's got a potential to be, you know, one of the great quarterback pass catcher combinations in the league. You know, if they continue to go on the trajectory they've been on, it's a tribute to both of those guys for developing the way they have. It's a tribute to the coach for knowing how to use them. And man, like you want to start looking beyond this season and into 2026. That's going to be a fun thing to sort of watch evolve as the Bears get further along into it.
Dan, we appreciate the time. Congratulations on taking the North.
You did it, Dan.
I'm glad I'm finally getting the credit I deserve for this happening for this city. And so hopefully I'll get the recognition, maybe a pay bump somewhere here along the line, because God, without me, where would this team be?
Mark
Rohde got a tiara and a lei.
I did.
And it says happy North year.
Yep. Thank you,
Layla. And some cookies. So we'll figure out what to get you.
Layla hooked me up. I'll give you.
We're going to have to discuss that on the next episode of the podcast.
We got a lot. You and I have so much to catch up on.
A lot of catching up.
Yes, we do. So
an airing of grievances, Festivus style on the Take the North?
It's airing of everything.
I just want Dan to catch his flight. I'm scared we're keeping him. Are we keeping him?
What time is your flight?
I've got a later afternoon flight here, so I'm still in my hotel room. I haven't showered yet. I've been working all morning, so we got some time. You guys don't have to worry about me.
All right, cool.
All right, so first it was the North, then it is a shower, then it is your flight.
Take the shower, take the North, take the flight. Take it all.
Definitely take the flight.
Perfect.
Congratulations,
One thing I do know I will
Dan.
Do today is take a shower, so thanks for the congrats.
Yes, all of those things are good. Dan Wiederer, of course, you can hear his work with the Take the North podcast, although it's been a while, so I'm looking forward to the very special reunion episode. And you can catch his work at The Athletic.
Thanks, Dan.
And yes, there is an episode of Take the North running right now. Initial reaction. Adam Sinzinski filling in on that particular episode.
Studs!
Who knows when Dan and I will record the next episode? Probably in the next couple of days.
Tomorrow. He just said
We'll see. We'll see about that.
Mark Rohde might have something to say about that.
No, it probably will happen. We're still working on a special, too, where the live special is kind of getting tangled up.
There's a live special?
Yeah, there's a live special.
Will you wear the crown?
That's true. I will wear the crown.
The North crown?
Take the North crown. I'm going to take this crown with me wherever I go. This is my precious crown with a little piece of paper that says "Orth."
I think
with
you
the
should
North.
Put it
Happy
as
North
your backdrop
here.
The next time you record from home. It should be part of your backdrop. I don't know if you have a backdrop.
I do. I have a score backdrop, but I haven't used it ever.
No, so I mean like a backdrop of just things, and that could be one of the things.
Oh, right, where people
opposite.
Do that. Yeah.
I just use a wall, and people are like, I can't take you seriously doing your podcast from a hallway. And I was like, listen here, when you're in an open floor plan, everything is the hallway.
Well, I like that you don't have that, because I feel like people are getting a little bit too show-offy with their background. Look at all the neat little things I have in my background.
Knick-knacks.
Look at this. Look at my knick-knack. Look at my trophy. Look at the, like, okay.
I have a brick wall. That's all I got.
That's good.
So to our text line, we got somebody who sent us a text that's like 8 texts long and it's out of order. And which I say to you, that could be a phone call. How about you do that? Mm. Call us 312-644-6767. We continue calls after this Bears loss to the 49ers on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank and Gray Clips here on The Score.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
it's an early view of what the playoffs can be, you know. It was a big one, and yeah, it was exciting. It's a great atmosphere. Nothing like being on the road in a legendary spot like Levi's Stadium and, you know, going head-to-head with a Titan.
Man, we need to hear more from Jonah Jackson. How quality was that answer? Legendary stadium?
The answer was better than the play I saw in which he got beat badly.
I felt like he had a decent game.
They all had a decent game. They didn't give up any sacks, but...
Jonah Jackson, I need to hear you talk more. Thanks to Marquee for that. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score, and it's time to go back to the telephones. You know who we haven't heard from in a long time?
Hmm.
Mario in Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah. Mario.
Let's go, Mario.
What up, Mario? Super Mario.
Wow. Hey, everybody.
What Layla, up?
Marshall, hello.
Mark Rookie.
Dope.
How you guys doing?
We're better than I would expect us to be after a Bears loss.
Same. Real quick, Mark, I thought about you when Shaq went through the video board on Christmas Day. I don't know why, but I thought about you.
Mark,
I'm not too upset about, well, I'm not, that's a lie. I hated that they lost last night. I wanted them to get that game just so that they could show the 49ers, the stupid 49ers, who I hate as much as I hate the Packers, that they could beat them in their place. I think what I like, though, is watching Caleb Williams just do it. Just put it right in everybody's face. The Cleveland game, when he made those throws in the wind, in the cold, how the just the touch. I'm like, yeah, I think he's finally getting it now. And you know, to watch this happen the way it's happening, I'm not too upset about it.
On the scale of this game to, like, the you-know-go Bears when you had to force yourself to say it, where are you?
I am hopeful that they go very deep, and I think they're going to go pretty deep in the playoffs. So, like, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say I'm, like, at an 8.
Ooh.
Mario,
but
real
that's
quick.
Because the offense is on it. And I just think teams like the 49ers can make a Bear defense look bad. They make a lot of defenses look bad. Yesterday was weird, though, because the Bears could not, for any reason at all, stop that little freak Purdy from running all over the place. And
silly little freak.
That inability to stop him made that game hard to watch. Other than that, Bears have been clicking, man. That's the squad. I'm not about to.
Hey, Mario, why do you hate? Why
now?
Do you? I'm not getting down on you for it. Why do you have disdain for the 49ers? Is it Bears history against the 49ers?
Yes.
Yeah, I got gotcha. You.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my whole young life. They go out there with Dicker and get hit in the head.
Guy McIntyre. Yeah. You remember a guy by the name of Guy Mac? Guy McIntyre is the man responsible for maybe causing William the Refrigerator Perry to be born the next year. Guy McIntyre embarrassed the Bears defense in the year 1984 in the NFC title game by running against the Bears. Guy McIntyre, big defensive dude. So I get it. I just wanted to confirm that that's why I felt your 80s hates. I picked up on that very quickly, Mario.
Can't stand the stupid 49ers. I wanted them to get them so bad last night. But it was a great football game. Like, the offense will get the Bears far into these playoffs, and the defense will stop them from going. That's where I'm at.
I don't think you're wrong in that, Mario. Always good to hear from you. We'll keep it going with the regulars. Frank in Oak Park, you're on Raheem Harris and Grody.
Hey, guys. I'll expand on what was said before, you know, issues about the offense and the defense. I was at a family I'd known for 40 years over the weekend and really, really enjoyed watching the Pack getting run over by the Ravens. But on Sunday, harsh reality hit. Despite the Bears suffering a thrilling loss to the 49ers, on the positive side, the Bears rebuild with coaching Johnson is proceeding faster than many anticipated. And who wouldn't have jumped at the chance for a 12th win going into Week 18 if asked in August? But if you're facing a top offense, the defense needs to get more than one sack by Booker and a pick TD if you're giving up almost 500 yards. If the Bears were facing the Rams on the road, you'd probably have a similar result. If they were facing the Seahawks in the playoffs, man, Darnold's capable of a crummy 3 or 4 pick game, so they might have a chance there. On offense, people complain about Williams' completion percentage. picking nits with a guy who's 270 away from a franchise record 4,000-yard season with 4-to-1 TD to pick ratio seems a pointless exercise. Give him another year in that system. He's probably at 65%. Historically, playoff success, read Super Bowl, requires teams with powerful offenses like the Bears have a defense that's at least middle of a pack. Except for takeaways, on most key measures, the Bears are bottom third of the league. And I'll pick up on something Grody was talking about. Coryell's Chargers produced a lot of historic video, but they never even sniffed a Super Bowl appearance. The Bears don't have enough cap room in 2026 to get a Crosby or a Garrett. The help they need has to come from the draft. Ryan Poles, the directive is clear. Find a Loveland equivalent for the defensive line while maintaining Williams' support group, and you're likely the NFC number one seed next year. Bye.
Bye, Frank. Except for the problem is Colston Loveland was drafted 10th overall, and Bears they're not going to be high. Picking in the top 10.
Those days are over,
that's,
too.
That's the flip side of taking the North.
See, and there goes my pop-up show. My draft show.
Why? They're still going to get a first-round pick.
They'll still be
they
on
traded
the
for
clock.
Max Crosby.
I don't know. I think this puts it, you know, on the line. I'm not really sure.
Why?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know if the urgency is there. Will people still come to my pop-up show?
Yes.
Will it like Kris Kringle Mart?
Do
like,
you want me to
they,
come?
Will they
as
still
long as it's not at Kris Kringle Mart, I'll come.
Yeah. First of all, it's Kris Kindle. Secondly, we still haven't gone. Third, we're not going to get dates to go, which is
I
know.
Guess
pisser.
What? We all survived the Kris Kindle peer pressure blitz. I'm so happy I did not go.
I walked past it like it's still up. It's very sad. And I thought about that. Boy, we dropped the ball. We are pathetic, the three
you
of
dropped
us.
Dropped the ball. I accomplished my mission.
One of the
what
texters
was your mission?
Asked
to avoid it.
One of the texters asked which of us hosts is most likely to get married in 2026, and I was like, no.
Not looking good.
All the hosts are just the three of us.
I think
no,
it's
just the
three
of
us.
We're the three single people at the station as far as the hosts are concerned. Oh
there's
no, Lawrence is
people.
With us.
Yeah, there's other single people.
Where are my single people at?
Listen, it ain't happening for me.
What's not happening? You're not getting married?
Scott got married this year.
That
does that count?
That ship has sailed.
The marriage ship has sailed?
I
thought you wanted to get married. What
I
happened, man?
I'd love to, but I just don't see it in the cards.
What happens first? Your draft pop-up or Marshall getting married?
Wow. Well, I mean, there's still an outside chance the draft pop-up show on the clock could occur this offseason. So I would say the on the clock is still more possible.
Two very different on the clocks.
The way he's talking right now, this guy's defeated over here, man.
Not defeated.
You can't even get a date and go to Kris Kindle.
Yeah, there's
market.
A woman out there for you. We'll find you a girl. Don't worry.
I bet she's at the
I'll set you up. I got you.
I'm enjoying. Set yourself up first, then you can set me up. How about that?
We are ridiculous.
I just wanted to see what you would say.
Yeah,
if I said
are you pleased?
I don't need to be set up by anybody. I got my own women.
Does that please you?
No.
Please me.
What?
What?
I'm so glad you said
speaking
that on Twitter yesterday.
Yes.
I was like, does the pick six please you?
It was right after the pick six for the Bears.
What?
That was what I tweeted. I tweeted, what?
Also, 847 says, can't wait for the Take the Shower podcast.
Can't take wait for the that shower either. Podcast.
We don't know what to do now that the Bears have won the division.
You could win a chance to take a shower with Dan Wiederer.
Shouldn't he have a say in that? All right, we better go to commercial break. Anthony Heron is coming in next. Maybe he has suggestions or thoughts to any of this.
Any of it.
Yes, Anthony Heron joins us next in studio here on Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.